Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. Three candles are already lit. Advent is a time of preparing for Christmas. Our Advent wreath is a sign that Christmas is near. Last week, we lit the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Today, we light the candle of love.
Christmas is a time when God's love for us is shown in a surprising way.
God's Son Jesus is sent to this world as a human baby, a demonstration of the pure love of God.
Thank you, God, for giving us your love in Jesus.
Amen.
Good morning. And welcome to the Vines Uniting Church, and thank you, Jen and Sam, for the Advent candle. As most of you might be aware, today has been designated a day of reflection by the Australian Government in remembrance of the lives lost in the Bondi terror attack last Sunday afternoon. We'll have more on that later in the service, but for now, we want to come into the presence of God and celebrate the hope, peace, joy, and love as we celebrate the upcoming celebration of the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If the angels could come up here, please. We're going to sing two carols with the Vines Angels. The first carol we're going to sing is Joy to the World. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. We would like the angels to sing the first verse, and then we can join in for the second verse of Joy to the World. And with the Virgin Mary had a baby boy, we will sing, the angels will sing the first verse, and we can join in from where it says, "Oh yes, he come from the glory."
Of his love and wonders of his love. Joy to
babe born. The angels sang when the babe born. The angels sang when the babe born. And they thanked him the Savior, Jesus. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. Wise men saw where the baby born. Wise men saw where the baby born. And they say that his name was Jesus. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom.
Now, I do realise that we do have Elton here today, and he takes the attention of everybody away. First of all, can I just say those first two songs sounded really cool from where I was. It really was lovely to hear. And when everybody came in, I could just feel the whole thing swell. It was wonderful. Just a couple of notices from me, and then a couple, one from David and one from Rob. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services here. Christmas Eve will be at 7 p.m. And it will only be around about a 45 to 50 minute service apparently. And Christmas Day is at 9 a.m. and around about the same time frame, I understand, so that'll be it. And secondly, the Pantry 152 will be closed this Wednesday, Christmas Eve, but will be open on New Year's Eve the following Wednesday from the usual time of 10 till 12. David.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Just a couple of things, if I can remember them both. Particularly for those of you who are watching online, as we have done in the past, the online streaming will cease after Christmas Day. We will live stream Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, and then live streaming will not commence again until the first Sunday in February. And just so you know, on the first Sunday... No, it isn't, is it? No, I won't talk about the first Sunday in February, that's all right. The first Sunday in January will be led by Reverend Anna...
Grant Henderson.
Caitlin, thank you. So she will be with us and providing some ministry across the next little while, which is really great. And finally, regarding Sunday the 28th, of December, we had talked about that being a cafe church. It will not be. It'll be an ordinary service at 9:30, like Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. I hope it will be short, and some nice music, and so on, and reflective, particularly in relation to the wise men and how they said yes to Jesus, as Mary said yes to Jesus, and a few others. This is a little clue for the 28th. Rob.
Okay, from Church Council. Church Council have asked me to be sensible and read something very sensible, so I won't. I will try and stick to my script, okay?
Impossible.
I don't want to be seen to be belittling this by thinking, oh, you've got stuck, you don't know what to say next.
Keep the dad Church... jokes out of it.
You guys don't help me. Look, I've got it all written down. Give it a break. Crikey. Okay. This month, we are saying thanks. We are taking the time to make acknowledgement and give special thanks to the Wednesday morning office helpers. That's Joan Collins, Jen and Ken Stigwood, and Sandra Stone. They do many office tasks, things that we don't see, but if they weren't done, there would be large gaps in the systems that make our church work. Number one. And number two, We also thank Bob Stone and Matt Jevnikar for their work in the church garden, recently working on drippers, new plantings, and now no doubt making certain that they all stay alive on days like last Thursday. To these people, we say thanks as a whole community. And no doubt there will be individual thanks that you can give later. That's it. And Rob did a good job. Well done, boy.
Amen.
I think Rob needs to have that.
Yeah, thank you.
And if the angels could come back up again, we're going to sing another song. This song was requested, actually, quite adamantly by the angels. They said they really want to sing this song. To me, it's one of the most beautiful Christmas songs around. The song has been made famous by a lot of people, and we're going to make it even more famous now. The song is O Holy Night. You may remain seated for this song. The ladies will sing the first verse, and then we will come in to have the fall on your knees part of the song.
Stand if you're able. hymns of joy. In grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Fall on your knees, oh,
Sharon sneaked off. Let's give thanks. Gracious, loving God, thank you for every perfect gift that has come to us by your grace. As we look towards Christmas, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for all the blessings that we have shared together during this year, and we look forward to more blessings to come. Receive these gifts, take them, bless them, multiply them, and use them to transform people's lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Today, I would like us to unite our prayers with other members of our congregation throughout the country, as we turn our minds to this day of national reflection and, dare I say, mourning. May our God of steadfastness and encouragement grant our world the opportunity to live in harmony with each other, to respect and honor all nationalities, races, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that today we may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father, our Lord. Our souls were battered last Saturday as the radical world of terror once again entered our lives. We pause and we will light a small candle to shine through the violence at Bondi and to be a remembrance for those citizens who were so cruelly killed. Let us pray. Behold, a virgin, Mary, shall conceive and bear a son, Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christmas Day, a day of glorious celebration for the gift that is about to be bestowed on us through the birth of the infant Jesus. May this gift manifest itself in our day-to-day lives and be kept in our hearts forever. Hark! The herald angel sang and said, "Rejoice! Unto you a child is born." On this most momentous day, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Savior, who was looked for by the prophets, heralded by the Baptist, announced by an angel, born of the Virgin Mary, and revealed to women and to men of every race. We welcome one another just as we welcome the infant child, our gift from our Lord. May our God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in that belief. May his world be filled with thanksgiving on the most holy days, and may his Holy Spirit grant the blessing of peace so that all Christians may celebrate this grace with all the peoples of the earth. As we draw nearer to our Savior, we pray that his name will live forever. Let all people use his name as a blessing. This is our gift back to you. As we draw closer to you, we remember and we bless all those known to us who have returned to you from this life and are rejoicing in their resurrection. We ask for their prayers for us as we celebrate with our families and loved ones on this most holiest of weeks. We request the intercession of all your saints. Please pray for us who are still on the journey back to you. We will one day join you and be recipients of the promise made by your Son, our Lord and our Savior. Our own resurrections are ensured, and we will be with him in heaven. Today we send our condolences to the families of our fellow travelers who have crossed over in the last year. They have laid down their burdens and are at rest in your arms. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, as we recite the prayer that Jesus left for us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God of grace, hear our prayers.
Good morning, church family. Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Elton was asked to come to church this morning. I don't know whether Colleen offered the invitation. Said, is Elton coming to church on Sunday? He's well known, this bloke, but as I think most of you have caught up with now, he received a volunteer award for his work at Flinders Medical Centre. I heard Rob saying just before we had prayers this morning in the vestry that Cam's had a rough time again, or still, and has been in ED, emergency department, which is not the nicest place to be. And there are times when there is violence and great distress there. It's not the only place in the hospital. Elton and I were asked to visit a particular section of the hospital last Wednesday, where we were escorted by security and by senior medical staff. It all worked out very well, and those involved were very gracious, and I could see that the visit was worthwhile to them. But as there are service personnel, medical, law, emergency services and others who work while we have long weekends and special times of celebration, let us remember them, because for many of those people, Christmas is one of the tough times, a really tough time. And I encourage you in that way. As I said in the grapevine, if you've had a chance to look at it, I was determined to be a good boy and be prepared well in advance for today. And I started thinking about this Bible reading weeks ago. But last weekend changed that. And I saw that there was significance in that reading that we heard and the events at Bondi. And I started working through that, and Judy would say to me, you know, how are you going with Sunday? And I said, I've just had to rethink it all. And then later on she said, haven't you finished that yet? I said, I've just had to rethink it. And I did quite a bit of rethinking, which is not necessarily a bad thing. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. As you know, one of the poets that I love is Michael Lunig. And Michael Lunig has a poem which has a powerful line in it. Christ is born. Christ is always born. And at a time like this, we need to focus on the birth of Christ, who is the God with us, who is the mediator, who is the reconciler, who is the transformer, and gives us the power of leading in that way. This we have asked to make a day, is a day that we've been asked to make a day of reflection, not a day of retribution, not a day of political debate and blame, not a day of religious attacks and justification, but a time of reflection, a mirror when we look at ourselves and our own attitudes. What are our attitudes about those who are different, who believe and practice different things? What are our attitudes to those who do dreadful, harmful things? A day of reflection for us all to think, to study, to pray, to meditate. A day for us to give careful and non-judgmental consideration. Now, these are all challenges for us, aren't they? Because how many of us saw the first news reports and the first dreadful clips and reacted with anger and frustration and saying somebody must? It was a natural thing for us to do. Rabbi Zalman Lewis said after the Bondi massacre, let's respond to irrational hate with irrational love. We might prefer the word unconditional love. But he was right. Irrational love. Loving the destroyers unconditionally does not make sense to most human beings. It's irrational love. But wasn't it irrational? The cross? Ludicrous? Some would say that was the most stupid thing to do. And even people at the time of the crucifixion said, if he was really the king of the Jews, he'd come down off the cross. What he's doing is cranky. And Rabbi Zalman Lewis said, "We have been given the example of irrational love. Now's the time to practice it." He didn't say it would be easy. Neither do I. It's a defiant love. Did you see the defiance of all those swimmers and surfers? What was the first thing you thought of when you saw them all out there in the water? I hope there aren't any sharks there today. And what did you think when you saw all those hundreds of lifesavers gathered from along the New South Wales coast, lining the beach and standing in solidarity? What was that on? Love and peace. Yes. That is irrational love. That is irrationally taking a stand, because it won't make sense to many people in the world. In the birth stories, Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, and they were, we would say, engaged. Betrothed is the word that's used. Engaged, but engagement had a much stronger tone than it does for us today. And the only way to break that betrothal, that engagement, was by divorce. And it was the thought that came to Joseph, unsurprisingly. The thought was, I can quietly divorce her. And divorce was understood as casting aside. Throughout our history, we have an appalling record of the way we treat women. In Jesus' day, women were mere chattels, and they stayed that way for many, many hundreds of years, and in some societies, they still are. And Joseph stood up against the practices of culture and the laws of religion and said, "No way." His was a defiant love. His was an irrational love in the eyes of the current culture and practices of faith. He should be called Emmanuel. That means God is with us. And when God is with us, we are called to behave differently. As I said, women, at worst, were a commodity. When I started off as a young minister, I made my share of mistakes. But one thing that I never did, and I made up my mind that I would never do, was when I conducted a marriage, I said to the bride's father, "Who gives this woman to be married to this man?" That daughter was not his to own or to give into the ownership of anybody. And from the first wedding I conducted, I said, "Do you, on behalf of your family and the family of the groom, give your approval and blessing for this marriage?" And I'm proud of that. But we've behaved badly towards the Gentiles. I remember going to an Emmanuel College old scholars gathering, because Judy's an old Emmanuelite. coming from a strong Lutheran background. And there was a group of us men standing there talking, and we all married Lutheran girls. And someone said, well, what are you guys doing? And somebody whose name must not be mentioned said, we are the Gentiles. Judy and I have been greatly enriched by two television programs recently, and I hope if you haven't watched them, you will do so. One was The Assembly. How many people saw The Assembly? Powerful story of young journalists with disabilities being coached and trained by Lee Sales of ABC, depending on your opinion, fame or notoriety, and by guests who came in whom those young journalists interviewed. It was deeply moving. It was deeply powerful. The message came across very strongly. They weren't just young people, men and women with disabilities. They were people who were differently abled. Differently abled. And similarly, and I think more powerfully for us, we watched Piano and Piano UK. And if you haven't watched Piano, especially Piano UK, do it. And if you did, watch it again. And when the four, I think that's four, isn't it? When the four finalists were decided, every one of them could be designated in some way disabled. A developmental disability, blindness, a learning disability. And didn't they blow us away? And the one person who shocked and inspired us most of all was Lucy. Lucy was born blind. She learned to play the piano by placing her hands on the piano, on the hands of her teacher, and following his fingers. You try and do that. And as she played, she had this mannerism, and her pigtails swung. It was like a celebration. It really was. And in the final, she played a piece by Debussy, and I can't remember the name of the piece, but her hands, no teacher doing it with her, on her own, on her right hand, she was playing rippling notes that sounded like water rippling over rocks. It was astounding. An astounding piece of musicianship. And we have come through many generations of families that would have institutionalized Lucy and would have institutionalized young men who had emotional and intellectual differences. Judy has spent a large part of her teaching life working with children with disabilities, developmental difficulties, and she reckons it's the greatest thing on earth. You know, she walked out on me once. She probably thought about it many more times. But Judy said to me one day, I'm going to go and live in Sydney for a year. We were living in the Atherton Tablelands in Queensland. Who's telling this story? Our granddaughter, Aisha, has intellectual and developmental difficulties. She was adopted by a son and his first wife from an orphanage in Hong Kong. And she was set aside because she wasn't good enough to keep. And Paul and Laurel took on Aisha. Things weren't going well for Aisha for a whole range of reasons, which I don't need to share with you. But Judy said to me, I think I need to go to live in Sydney for a year and live with Aisha and support her, and in doing so support Paul and his wife, current wife, Kwani, who's Chinese. And the change we saw in Aisha that year was phenomenal. It's the kind of thing that Judy specialises in. We used to joke about our elder daughter, Naree, who recently turned 60, because she used to bring home lost cats and poor, unfortunate cats time and time again. I think she got it from her mother, only her mother did it with people. That's irrational love. That's transformational love. And as we look at the question of transformational love, we need to realise that there are times when we have heard people say, I can never forgive them, I will never forgive them, they are unforgivable. What does that achieve? Nothing. I think it achieves something highly significant. It twists the person who makes the statement. And the person who makes the statement can become bitter and hateful and isolated. I said that I wasn't going to get into political or religious arguments, but I despise what terrorists and extremists do, but I am told and taught to do the best I can to love people such as that. For in Matthew again, we read these words, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, and you know these words, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these brothers and sisters of mine. You did it for me. We are called on a day of reflection to address our political, our spiritual, our cultural prejudices. And to reflect on what it means to love unconditionally, to offer a ridiculous, ludicrous, unconditional love. We need to address divisions, especially those that are quite false. As I said, Judy grew up in a Lutheran church. The Uniting Church came into being in 77. Something else happened about the same time. The two Lutheran churches in Australia, did you know that there were two Lutheran churches in Australia?
Yep.
They also voted to become one. And in the two Lutheran churches, when one was talking about the other, they talked about the other side. We get caught up in false divisions, spiritually, educationally, emotionally, in our understandings of sexuality, society. And those people who say Australia is for the white person, and I'm proud that we have people with dark skin in our church here, and I hope you feel welcomed and loved. What about all the dark-skinned people who were here for millennia? Our Aboriginal people. And you know how significant Judy's and my relationship is with Aboriginal people, having been given special names. In the church, we have these crazy divisions. Are you an evangelical or a liberal? Now, somebody pulled the queerest face, which meant, what on earth are you talking about? I'm glad that division doesn't surface quite so much these days. Are you into social justice, or do you believe in the Bible? Social justice is evangelism. And evangelism works for justice. It works to share and to affirm. It brings good news to the poor, to the alienated, the downtrodden. I sent Ken into a mild tiz this morning, and he came through with flying colours. There's a chorus of a song that we all know, and we don't need musicians. You know all the verses which talk about our history? But I think today is a day when we need to sing these words. Let's stand.
We are one, but we are many. And from all the lands on earth we come, we'll share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian.
Now, sometimes we turn and face each other. Turn and face somebody. Sing that again, and you'll get a chance to turn and face somebody else during this. Don't just spoil one person, spoil more than one. Or, children, are you listening?
No, Dad.
Or form a little group and sing to each other in a group. That might work better for you.
Sing as a group. Women do sing as a
group. Okay. Are we ready?
We are many, and from all the lands on earth we come, we'll share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australia.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Malcolm. I learned a valuable lesson this morning. Don't wear black when Elton comes to church. It's always good when we talk about that sort of thing, and Elton's here, and he just wanders around and he just shows his love for everybody in the congregation. It doesn't matter who you are. That's good. We're going to sing the song Angels from the Realms of Glory, and then Malcolm's going to come up and give the benediction, and then we'll go into a minute's silence for what happened last week, and then we will finish with a Christmas blessing. In the meantime, please stand and sing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's word. Come and worship Christ the newborn King.
King, God.
Firstly, I want to thank you all for being such a special family to us when we've been, as we've been a part of this community. Judy and I want to say thank you and wish you all a very happy Christmas, because we won't see you at any of the Christmas Eve or morning services. And particularly, thank you for putting up with a big white woofter who has turned up at various times. No, not this one. And Lynn's with us, and thank you, because so many of you have been most concerned for Lynn and asked often and prayed often. Thank you very much. It's a long journey, isn't it, love? And it goes on, and so your love and prayers will be cherished for a while yet.
Congratulations on your award.
As I wrote to the parliamentarian when I got the notice, I said, it's not my volunteering, it's ours. Because Elton is an essential part of every visit, and sometimes his effect is profound. And I got an immediate answer, bring him. But I didn't know he was going to get a framed certificate too. Thank you. I hope that I may have given you something to think about today. Something to reflect on. And if the events of Bondi have affected you in a negative way and it's becoming a burden, give someone a phone call. Talk to them. Ring me or ring one of the elders or someone who's special to you in the congregation. Don't let it sit there. Deal with it, because it's affected each and every one of us. Let's offer our prayers in silence. And may the grace, the peace, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with us today and always. Amen. And